Chapter 27 They took Rosamond up to the bower, making a pallet on the floor for her in the narrow space beside the bed. Roche covered it with a linen sheet and went out to the barn's loft to fetch bed coverings. Kivrin had been afraid Rosamond would balk at the sight of the clerk, with his grotesque tongue and blackening skin, but she scarcely glanced at him. She took her surcoat and shoes off and lay down gratefully on the narrow pallet. Kivrin took the rabbit-skin coverlid from the bed and put it over her. "Will I scream and run at people like the clerk?" Rosamond asked. "Nay," Kivrin said, and tried to smile. "Try to rest. Does it hurt anywhere?" "My stomach," she said, putting her hand to her middle. "And my head. Sir Bloat told me the fever makes men dance. I thought it was a tale to frighten me. He said they danced till blood came out of their mouths, and they died. Where is Agnes?" "In the loft with your mother," Kivrin said. She had told Eloise to take Agnes and Hermione up to the loft and shut themselves in, and Eloise had done it without even a backward glance at Rosamond. "My father comes soon," Rosamond said. "You must be quiet now and rest. Grandmother says it is a mortal sin to fear your husband, but I cannot help it. He touches me in ways that are not seemly, and tells me tales of things that cannot be true." "I hope he dies in agony," Kivrin thought. "I hope he is infected already." "My father is even now on his way," Rosamond said. "You must try to sleep. If Sir Bloat were here now, he would not dare to touch me," she said, and closed her eyes. "It would be he who was afraid." Roche came in, bearing an armload of bedclothes, and went out again. Kivrin piled them on top of Rosamond, tucked them in around her, and laid the fur she had taken from the clerk's bed back over him. The clerk still lay quietly, but the hum in his breathing had begun again, and now and then he coughed. His mouth hung open, and the back of his tongue was coated with a white fur. "I can't let this happen to Rosamond," Kivrin thought. "She's only 12 years old. There must be something she could do. Something." The plague bacillus was a bacteria. Streptomycin and the sulfur drugs could kill it. But she couldn't manufacture them herself, and she didn't know where the drop was. And Garwin had ridden off to Bath. Of course he had. Eloise had run to him. She had thrown her arms around him. And he would have gone anywhere, done anything for her, even if it meant bringing home her husband. She tried to think how long it would take Garwin to ride to Bath and back. It was 70 kilometers. Riding hard, he could make it there in a day and a half. 3 days, there and back, if he were not delayed. If he could find Lord Guillaume, if he did not fall ill. Dr. Arendt had said untreated plague victims died within 4 or 5 days, but she did not see how the clerk could possibly last that long. His temp was up again. She had pushed Lady Hermione's casket under the bed when they brought Rosamond up. She pulled it out and looked through it at the dried herbs and powders. The contempts had used home-grown remedies like St. John's wort and bittersweet during the plague, but they had been as useless as the powdered emeralds. Fleabane might help, but she couldn't find any of the pink or purple flowers in the little linen bags. When Roche came back, she sent him for willow branches from the stream and steeped them into a bitter tea. "What is this brew?" Roche asked, tasting it and making a face. "Aspirin," Kivrin said. "I hope." Roche gave a cup to the clerk, who was past caring what it tasted like, and it seemed to bring his temp down a little. But Rosamond's rose steadily all afternoon, till she was shivering with chills. By the time Roche left to say vespers, She was almost too hot to touch. Kivrin uncovered her and tried to bathe her arms and legs in cool water to bring the fever down, but Rosamond wrenched angrily away from her. "It is not seemly you should touch me thus, sir," she said, through chattering teeth. "Be sure I shall tell my father when he returns." Roche didn't come back. Kivrin lit the tallow lamps and tucked the bed coverings around Rosamond, wondering what had become of him. She looked worse in the smoky light, her face wan and pinched. She murmured to herself, repeating Agnes's name over and over, and once she asked fretfully, "Where is he? He should have been here ere now." He should have been, Kivrin thought. The bell had tolled Vespers half an hour ago. "Roche is in the kitchen," she told herself, "making a soup. Or he has gone to tell Eloise how Rosamond is. He isn't ill." But she stood up and climbed on the window seat and looked out into the courtyard. It was getting colder, and the dark sky was overcast. There was no one in the courtyard, no light or sound anywhere. Roche opened the door, and she jumped down, smiling. "Where have you been? I was..." she said and stopped. Roche was wearing his vestments and carrying the oil and viaticum. "No," she thought, glancing at Rosamond. "No."
"I have been with Ulf the Reeve," he said. "I heard his confession."
"Thank God it's not Rosamond," she thought, and then realized what he was saying. The plague was in the village. "Are you certain?" she asked. "Does he have the plague boils?"
"Aye."
"How many others are in the household?"
"His wife and 2 sons," he said tiredly. "I bade her wear a mask and sent her sons to cut willows."
"Good," she said. There was nothing good about it. No, that wasn't true. At least it was bubonic plague and not pneumonic, so there was still a chance the wife and 2 sons wouldn't get it. But how many other people had Ulf infected? And who had infected him? Ulf would not have had any contact with the clerk. He must have caught it from one of the servants. "Are any others ill?"
"Nay."
It didn't mean anything. They only sent for Roche when they were very ill, when they were frightened. There might be 3 or 4 other cases already in the village, or 12. She sat down on the window seat, trying to think what to do. "Nothing," she thought. "There's nothing you can do. It swept through village after village, killing whole families, whole towns, 1/3 to 1/2 of Europe." "No!" Rosamond screamed and struggled to rise. Kivrin and Roche both dived for her, but she had already lain back down. They covered her up, and she kicked the bedclothes off again. "I will tell Mother. Agnes, you wicked child," she murmured. "Let me out." It grew colder in the night. Roche brought up more coals for the brazier, and Kivrin climbed up in the window again to fasten the waxed linen over the window, but it was still freezing. Kivrin and Roche huddled by the brazier in turn, trying to catch a little sleep, and woke shivering like Rosamond. The clerk did not shiver, but he complained of the cold, his words slurred and drunken sounding. His feet and hands were cold and without feeling.
"They must have a fire," Roche said. "We must take them down to the hall."
"You don't understand," she thought. Their only hope lay in keeping the patients isolated, in not letting the infection spread. But it has already spread, she thought, and wondered if Alf's extremities were growing cold, and what he would do for a fire.
She had sat in one of their huts by one of their fires. It would not warm a cat.
The cats died too, she thought, and looked at Rosamond. The shivering racked her poor body, and she seemed already thinner, more wasted.
The life is going out of them, Roche said.
I know, she said, and began picking up the bedclothes. Tell Masery to spread straw on the hall floor. The clerk was able to walk down the steps, Kivrin and Roche both supporting him, but Roche had to carry Rosamond in his arms. Eloise and Masery were spreading straw on the far side of the hall. Agnes was still asleep, and Hermione knelt where she had the night before, her hands folded stiffly before her face. Roche lay Rosamond down, and Eloise began to cover her.
Where is my father? Rosamond demanded hoarsely. Why is he not here?
Agnes stirred. She would be awake in a minute, and clambering on Rosamond's pallet, gawking at the clerk. She must find some way to keep Agnes safely away from them. Kivrin looked up at the beams, but they were too high, even under the loft, to hang curtains from, and every available coverlid and fur were already being used. She began turning the benches on their sides and pulling them into a barricade. Roche and Eloise came to help, and they tipped the trestle table over and propped it against the benches. Eloise went back over to Rosamond and sat down beside her. Rosamond was asleep, her face flushed with the reddish light from the fire.
You must wear a mask, Kivrin said.
Eloise nodded, but she didn't move. She smoothed Rosamond's tumbled hair back from her face.
He was my husband's favorite, she said.
Rosamond slept nearly half the morning. Kivrin pulled the Yule log off to the side of the hearth and piled cut logs on the fire. She uncovered the clerk's feet so they could feel the heat. During the Black Death, the Pope's doctor had made him sit in a room between two huge bonfires, and he had not caught the plague. Some historians thought the heat had killed the plague bacillus. More likely, his keeping away from his highly contagious flock was what had saved him. But it was worth trying. Anything was worth trying, she thought, watching Rosamond. She piled more wood on. Father Roche went to say matins, though it was past mid-morning. The bell woke Agnes up.
Who tumbled the benches down?
She asked, running over to the barricade.
You must not come past this fence, Kivrin said, standing well back from it. You must stay by your grandmother.
Agnes clambered onto a bench and peered over the top of the trestle table.
I see Rosamond, she said. Is she dead?
She's very ill, Kivrin said sternly. You must not come near us. Go and play with your cart.
I would see Rosamond, she said, putting one leg over the table.
No, Kivrin shouted. Go and sit with your grandmother. Agnes looked astonished, and then burst into tears.
I would see Rosamond, she wailed.
But she went over and sat down sulkily beside Hermione. Roche came in.
Alf's elder son is ill, he said. He has the swellings.
There were two more cases during the morning, and one in the afternoon, including the steward's wife. All of them had buboes, or small, seed-like growths on the limp glands, except the steward's wife. Kivrin went with Roche to see her. She was nursing the baby, her thin, sharp face even sharper. She was not coughing or vomiting, and Kivrin hoped the buboes had simply not developed yet.
Wear masks, she told the steward.
Give the baby milk from the cow. Keep the children from her, she said hopelessly. 6 children in 2 rooms. Don't let it be pneumonic plague, she prayed. Don't let them all get it. At least Agnes was safe. She had not come near the barricade since Kivan shouted at her. She had sat for a bit, glaring at Kivan with an expression that was so fierce it would have been comical under other circumstances, and then gone up to the loft to fetch her cart. She had set a place for it at the high table, and they were having a feast. Rosamond was awake. She asked Kivrin for a drink in a hoarse voice, and as soon as Kivrin had given it to her, she fell quietly asleep. Even the clerk dozed, the hum of his breathing less loud, and Kivrin sat down gratefully beside Rosamond. She should go out and help Roche with the steward's children. At least make sure he was wearing his mask and washing his hands. But she felt suddenly too tired to move. If I could just lie down for a minute, she thought, I might be able to think of something. I will go see Blackie, Agnes said. Kivrin jerked her head around, startled out of what had almost been sleep. Agnes had put on her red cape and hood, and was standing as close to the barricade as she dared. You vowed you would take me to see my hound's grave. Hush. You will wake your sister, Kivrin said. Agnes started to cry. Not the loud wail she used when she wanted her own way, but quiet sobs. She's reached her limit, too. Kivrin thought. Left alone all day, Rosamond and Roche and I all off limits, everyone busy and distracted and frightened. Poor thing. You vowed, Agnes said, her lip quivering. I cannot take you to see your puppy now, Kivrin said gently. But I will tell you a story. We must be very quiet, though. She put her finger to her lips. We must not wake Rosamond or the clerk. Agnes wiped her runny nose with her hand. Will you tell me the story of the maiden in the woods? She said in a stage whisper. Yes. Can Cart listen? Yes, Kivrin whispered. And Agnes tore across the hall to fetch the little wagon, ran back with it and climbed up on the bench, ready to mount the barricade. You must sit down on the floor against the table, Kivrin said, and I will sit here on the other side. I will not be able to hear you, Agnes said, her face clouding up again. Of course you will, if you are very quiet. Agnes got down off the bench and sat down, scooting into position against the table. She set Cart on the floor beside her. You must be very quiet, she said to it. Kivrin went over and looked quickly at her patients and then sat down against the table and leaned back, feeling exhausted all over again. Once in a far land, Agnes prompted. Once in a far land there was a maiden. She lived by a great forest. Her father said, go not into the woods, but she was wicked and did not listen, Agnes said. She was wicked and did not listen, Kivrin said. She put on her cloak, her red cloak with a hood, Agnes said, and she went into the wood even though her father told her not to. Even though her father told her not to. I'll be perfectly all right, she had told Mr. Dunworthy. I can take care of myself. She should not have gone into the woods, should she? Agnes said. She wanted to see what was there. She thought she would go just a little way, Kivrin said. She should not have. Agnes said, passing judgment. I would not. The woods are dark.
The woods are very dark, and full of frightening noises.
Wolves,
Agnes said.
And Kivrin could hear her scooting closer to the table, trying to get as close to Kivrin as she could. Kivrin could imagine her huddled against the wood, her knees up, hugging the little wagon.
The maiden said to herself, I don't like it here. And she tried to go back, but she could not see the path. It was so dark. And suddenly, something jumped out at her.
A wolf,
Agnes breathed.
No,
Kivrin said.
It was a bear. And the bear said, What are you doing in my forest?
The maiden was frightened,
Agnes said in a small, frightened voice.
Yes.
Oh, please don't eat me, bear,
the maiden said.
I am lost and cannot find my way home.
Now the bear was a kindly bear, though he looked cruel, and he said,
I will help you find your way out of the woods.
And the maiden said, How? It is so dark.
We will ask the owl, the bear said. He can see in the dark.
She talked on, making up the tale as she went, oddly comforted by it. Agnes stopped interrupting, and after a while Kivrin raised herself up, still talking, and looked over the barricade.
Do you know the way out of the wood? The bear asked the crow. Yes, the crow said.
Agnes was asleep against the table. The cape spilled out around her, and the cart hugged to her chest. She should be covered up. But Kivrin didn't dare. All the bedclothes were full of plague germs. She looked over at Lady Hermione, praying in the corner, her face to the wall. Lady Hermione, she called softly. But the old lady gave no sign she had heard. Kivrin put more wood on the fire and sat back down against the table, leaning her head back. I know the way out of the woods. The crow said, I will show you, Kivrin said softly. But he flew away over the treetops, so fast they could not follow. She must have slept, because the fire was down when she opened her eyes and her neck hurt. Rosamond and Agnes still slept, but the clerk was awake. He called to Kivrin. His words unrecognizable. The white fur covered his whole tongue, and his breath was so foul Kivrin had to turn her head away to take a breath. His bubo had begun to drain again, a thick, dark liquid that smelled like rotting meat. Kivrin put a new bandage on, clenching her teeth to keep from gagging, and carried the old one to the far corner of the hall, and then went out and washed her hands at the well. Pouring the icy water from the bucket over one hand and then the other, taking in gulps of the cold air. Roche came into the courtyard.
Ulric, Hal's son, he said, walking with her into the house. And one of the steward's sons, the eldest, Waltheff. He stumbled into the bench nearest the door.
You're exhausted, Kivrin said. You should lie down and rest.
On the other side of the hall, Hermione stood up, getting awkwardly to her feet, as though her legs had fallen asleep, and started across the hall toward them. I cannot stay. I came to fetch a knife to cut willows, Roche said.
But he sat down by the fire and stared blankly into it.
Rest a minute at least, Kivrin said. I will fetch you some ale.
She pushed the bench to the side and started out.
You have brought this sickness, Lady Hermione said.
Kivrin turned.
The old lady was standing in the middle of the hall, glaring at Roche. She held her book to her chest with both hands. Her reliquary dangled from them.
It is your sins have brought the sickness here.
She turned to Kivrin.
He said the litany for Martinmas on St. Eusebius' day. His alb is dirty.
She sounded as she had when she was complaining to Sir Blowett's sister, and her hands fumbled with the reliquary, counting off his sins on the links of the chain.
He put the candles out by pinching them and broke the wicks.
Kivrin watched her, thinking. She's trying to justify her own guilt. She wrote the bishop asking for a new chaplain. She told him where they were. She can't bear the knowledge that she helped bring the plague here, Kivrin thought. But she couldn't summon up any pity. You have no right to blame Roche, she thought. He has done everything he can, and you've knelt in a corner and prayed.
God has not sent this plague as a punishment, she told Imani coldly. It's a disease. He forgot the Confiteor Deo, Imani said.
But she hobbled back to her corner and lowered herself to her knees.
He put the altar candles on the rude screen.
Kivrin went over to Roche. No one is to blame, she said. He was staring into the fire.
If God does punish us, he said, it must be for some terrible sin.
No sin, she said. It is not a punishment.
Dominus,
the clerk cried, trying to sit up. He coughed again, a racking, terrible cough that sounded like it would tear his chest apart, though nothing came up. The sound woke Rosamond, and she began to whimper. And if it isn't a punishment, Kivrin thought, it certainly looks like one. Rosamond's sleep had not helped her at all. Her temp was back up again, and her eyes had begun to look sunken. She jerked as if flogged at the slightest movement. It's killing her, Kivrin thought. I have to do something. When Roche came in again, she went up to the bower and brought down Hermione's casket of medicines. Hermione watched, her lips moving soundlessly. But when Kivrin set it in front of her and asked her what was in the linen bags, she put her folded hands up to her face and closed her eyes. Kivrin recognized some of them. Dr. Ahrens had made her study medicinal herbs, and she recognized comfrey and lungwort and the crushed leaves of tansy. There was a little pouch of powdered mercury sulfide, which no one in their right mind would give anyone, and a packet of foxglove, which was almost as bad. She boiled water and poured in every herb she recognized, and steeped it. The fragrance was wonderful, like a breath of summer, and it tasted no worse than the willow bark tea. But it didn't help either. By nightfall, the clerk was coughing continuously, and red blotches had begun to appear on Rosamond's stomach and arms. Her bulbar was the size of an egg and as hard. When Kivrin touched it, she screamed with pain. During the Black Death, the doctors had put poultices on the buboes or lanced them. They had also bled people and dosed them with arsenic, she thought. Though the clerk had seemed better after his buboes broke, and he was still alive. But lancing it might spread the infection, or worse, take it into the bloodstream. She heated water and wet rags to lay on the bubo. But even though the water was lukewarm, Rosamond screamed at the first touch. Kivrin had to go back to cold water, which did no good. None of it's doing any good, she thought, holding the wet cold cloth against Rosamond's armpit. None of it. I must find the drop, she thought. For the woods stretched on for miles with hundreds of oak trees, dozens of clearings. She would never find it. And she couldn't leave Rosamond. Perhaps Garwin would turn back. They had closed the gates of some cities. Perhaps you would not be able to get in. Or perhaps you would talk to people on the road and realize Lord Guillaume must be dead. Come back, she willed him. Hurry. Come back. Kivrin went through Hermione's bag again, tasting the contents of the pouches. The yellow powder was sulfur. Doctors had used that during epidemics too, burning it to fumigate the air. And she remembered learning in history of meds that sulfur killed certain bacteria, though whether that was only in the sulfur compounds she couldn't remember. It was safer than cutting the bubble open, though. She sprinkled a little on the fire to test it, and it billowed into a yellow cloud that burned Kivrin's throat even through her mask. The clerk gasped for breath, and Hermione, over in her corner, set up a continuous hacking. Kivrin had expected the smell of bad eggs to disperse in a few minutes, but the yellow smoke hung in the air like a pall, burning their eyes. Maisie ran outside, coughing into her apron, and Eloise took Hermione and Agnes up to the loft to escape it. Kivrin propped the manor door open and fanned the air with one of the kitchen cloths, and after a while the air cleared a little, though her throat still felt parched. The clerk continued to cough, but Rosamond stopped, and her pulse slowed till Kivrin could scarcely feel it. I don't know what to do, Kivrin said, holding her hot, dry wrist. I've tried everything. Roche came in, coughing. It's the sulfur, she said. Rosamond is worse. He looked at her and felt her pulse, and then went out again, and Kivrin took that as a good sign. He would not have left if Rosamond were truly bad. He came back in a few minutes, wearing his vestments and carrying the oil and viaticum of the last rites. What is it? Kivrin said. Has the steward's wife died then?
Nay,
he said, and looked past her at Rosamond. No, Kivrin said. She scrambled to her feet to stand between him and Rosamond. I won't let you.
She must not die unshriven, he said,
still looking at Rosamond. Rosamond isn't dying, Kivrin said, and followed his gaze. She looked already dead, her chapped lips half open, and her eyes blind and unblinking. The skin had taken on a yellowish cast and was stretched tautly over her narrow face. No, Kivrin thought desperately. I must do something to stop this. She's 12 years old. Roche moved forward with the chalice, and Rosamond raised her arm, as if in supplication, and then let it fall. We must open the plague boil, Kivrin said. We must let the poison out. She thought he was going to refuse, to insist on hearing Rosamond's confession first, but he didn't. He set the chrism and chalice down on the stone floor and went to fetch a knife. A sharp one, Kivrin called after him, and bring wine. She set the pot of water on the fire again. When he came back with the knife, she washed it off with water from the bucket, scrubbed the encrusted dirt near the hilt with her fingernails. She held it in the fire, the hilt wrapped in the tail of her surcoat, and then poured boiling water over it, and then wine, and then the water again. They moved Rosamond closer to the fire, the side with the bubble facing it, so they could have as much light as possible, and Roche knelt at Rosamond's head. Kivrin slipped her arm gently out of her shift and bunched the fabric under her for a pillow. Roche took hold of her arm, turning it so the swelling was exposed. It was almost the size of an apple, and her whole shoulder joint was inflamed and swollen. The edges of the bubo were soft and almost gelatinous, but the center was still hard. Kivrin opened the bottle of wine Roche had brought, poured some on a cloth, and swabbed the bubo gently with it. It felt like a rock embedded in her skin. She was not sure the knife would even cut into it. She picked up the knife and poised it above the swelling, afraid of cutting into an artery, of spreading the infection, of making it worse. "She is past pain," Roche said.
Kivrin looked down at her.
She hadn't moved, even when Kivrin pressed on the swelling. She stared past them both at something terrible.
"I can't make it worse," Kivrin thought. "Even if I kill her, I can't make it worse."
"Hold her arm," she said. And Roche pinned her wrist and halfway up the forearm, pressing her arm flat to the floor. Rosamond still didn't move. 2 quick, clean slices, Kivrin thought. She took a deep breath and touched the knife to the swelling. Rosamond's arm spasmed, her shoulder twisting protectively away from the knife, her thin hand clenching into a claw.
"What do you do?" she said hoarsely. "I will tell my father."
Kivrin jerked the knife back. Roche caught at Rosamond's arm and pushed it back against the floor, and she hit weakly at him with her other hand.
"I am the daughter of Lord Guillaume d'Ivory," she said. "You cannot treat me thus."
Kivrin scooted out of her reach and scrambled to her feet, trying to keep the knife from touching anything. Roche reached forward and caught both her wrists easily in one hand. Rosamond kicked out weakly at Kivrin. The chalice fell over, and wine spilled out in a dark puddle.
"We must tie her," Kivrin said, and realized she was holding the knife aloft like a murderer.
She wrapped it in one of the cloths Eloise had torn and ripped another into strips. Roche bound Rosamond's wrists above her head while Kivrin tied her ankles to the leg of one of the upturned benches. Rosamond didn't struggle, but when Roche pulled her shift up over her exposed chest, she said,
"I know you. You are the cutthroat who waylaid the Lady Catherine."
Roche leaned forward, pressing his full weight down on her forearm, and Kivrin cut across the swelling. Blood oozed, and then gushed, and Kivrin thought, "I've hit an artery." She and Roche both lunged for the pile of cloths, and she grabbed a thick wad of them and pressed them against the wound. They soaked through immediately, and when she released her hand to take the one Roche handed her, blood spurted out of the tiny cut. She jammed the tail of her surcoat against it, and Rosamond whimpered a small, helpless sound like Agnes's puppy and seemed to collapse, though there was nowhere for her to fall.
"I've killed her," Kivrin thought.
"I can't stop the bleeding," she said. But it had already stopped. She held the skirt of her surcoat against it, counting to 100, and then 200. And carefully lifted a corner of it away from the wound. Blood still welled from the cut, but it was mixed with a thick yellow-gray pus. Roche leaned forward to dab at it, but Kivrin stopped him.
"No,
full of plague germs," she said, taking the cloth away from him. "Don't touch it." She wiped the sickening-looking pus away. It oozed up again, followed by a watery serum. "That's all of it, I think," she said to Roche. "Hand me the wine." She looked round for a clean cloth to pour it on. There weren't any. They had used them all, trying to stop the bleeding. She tipped the wine bottle carefully and let the dark liquid dribble into the cut. Rosamond didn't move. Her face was grey, as if all the blood had been drained out of her, as it had been.
"And I don't have a transfusion to give her. I don't even have a clean rag."
Roche was untying Rosamond's hands. He took her limp hand in his huge one. "Her heart beats strongly now," he said.
"We must have more linen,"
Kivrin said, and burst into tears.
"My father will see you hanged for this,"
Rosamond said.
This ends Side 2 of Cassette 14 of Doomsday Book. Please fast forward to the end before loading cassette 15.